Hey, pals.
Welcome to Throwing the Power Short and Sweet, our 99th episode.
We are so excited.
We're so excited.
That was very natural of us, yeah. Not forced.
First take.
Yeah. Today we're talking about all of the episodes we've ever done over time and the ratings and the crazy numbers that people gave certain films, and we're going to crap on each other's opinions.
You're doing a much better job of looking at the camera today. Like, should I be doing more of that while we're like talking?
That's not important.
Sure. Okay. Really, really good point to bring up right now.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Hello, you at home.
What if they're not at home?
Hello, you out and about.
Hello.
Put the phone down if
hello,
you're driving.
Pals. Hello, pals. Anyway, I'm Frank.
I'm Marcus.
I'm Tom.
And let's kick off. Average lowest score of the films.
This is scary because we've spent almost 100 episodes now just shitting on each other in terms of scores.
Yes.
Just to rehash old arguments effectively.
And then that's possibly the like reevaluate what we...
Hopefully.
This is ultimately the goal, right? To be like, you know what? Maybe I was wrong. Maybe it is an okay film. Maybe Cats was good.
But that would involve two people out of three that can admit they're wrong ever, which I just don't
Let
think
Let me just
the
scan the room
magic.
Real yeah. quick.
We'll just have to delve into our... into our memories. Damn it. Wrong bit of the song.
See...
It's one of those bits that sounds better in theory.
We just have to delve into our touch me.
Just so we're clear, I knew when you'd set that up that she didn't say memory there, but I was like, can't wait for him to play her saying touch me when he thinks it's
really,
memory.
That's really disappointing.
That's
And this is why
so
you don't
funny.
Want to prepare. You know, it's all about being organic and natural.
Yeah, this is our second take, to be clear.
Shush, 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 shush. Shush. All right.
Should we elaborate a little further on what we've...
If you want to.
Just have the spreadsheet that, Marcus, you mostly keep up to date. Thank you very much for your diligence. I think I added to it like back in the middle and that was it. You've done it
well,
since
no,
then.
I was splitting that between Frank and I. I know you've done nothing.
I've done shit, basically. I barely watched the movies. So it's just every episode, every score that we've ever done, which is kind of crazy.
And we mentioned if we have thrown in the pal and who has. And you know, we just really take it seriously over here at Throwing the Pal.
Someone has to.
Is the way to start our very first episode, like we might as well talk about?
Oh, Elvis.
Elvis, which was... September like 28th, 2023, I want to say.
Yeah, it was grand final day, 2023.
Yeah, I might be slightly off, but it was very close to the 20th.
You do love your football.
Oh, it was grand final day.
It was. Yeah. It was a little after my birthday.
Memories! Touch me!
Yeah.
That's what we all say. Okay. Elvis, I gave it a 7. Marcus gave it an 8. And Tom gave it a 3.
I did give it a 3.
Okay, just before we go into this, we're not going to pick apart every single film, right?
Yeah, we're here for 3 hours.
We're going through every movie.
Buckle in.
Okay. If we're going to do it for this one for sure, Elvis, looking back, I'm definitely not an 8. And this is like we're finding our feet, right?
I've watched it again and I'm more than a 7 for sure.
Mm. Really?
Except, Thomas, you complain about Tom Hanks and Colonel Tom Barker and that being the device that the film is viewed through. That's crap. I agree.
Yeah.
But Austin Butler, man. And he's just gone on to do greater and greater things, except, well, he's done Dune 2, which was great.
That is my favorite thing he's ever done. He's amazing in that film. Mm. And I think he's really good in The Bike Riders. I'm pro Austin Butler. I should rewatch
it. Yeah, he doesn't even use training
for
wheels.
Him.
Come on.
I should rewatch it for him. But yeah, I just found it is one of those films that I still couldn't imagine it being much more than a 3 because I was so desperate for it to be over when I was watching it. And it's a very
long though.
Oh my fucking God.
It's okay. Long. Language.
And I don't enjoy Baz Luhrmann really past his first 3 movies. So I just have that reaction. I kind of bristle against
That's fair.
His style.
Anyway. I understand.
But yeah, you are lower than
I'm more of a Baz Luhrmann man. Do you know what I mean? Like I'm not really on board with
I'm more of a yes.
Yes, man.
Okay. Should we move on? Because I think the puns are done.
No, it's fine. Look, Elvis I would knock down. We're not going to do this for all 100. That's just insane.
Okay, let's go the lowest, the top, the bottom three. Let's go bottom three on average.
Per person.
Oh, yeah. So
per
of person. All of us. No. So across the board. Cats, across the board. The Flash, Interview with the Vampire.
How can Cats be the bottom average? I think I gave it a 27.
Well, this
so
is
that
crazy.
Should have brought the average up.
Yeah, there's two ones. Yeah. Being me and Marcus, and then you gave it a 6.5.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
Should I put on the song again?
To
remind you how good it is?
I can honestly say I think if I watch Cats tomorrow, it's at least a 7. Like, I have a lot of affection for that movie. And I think
I thought we'd given you enough time to reflect.
You must be, you're sick in the head. Like, something is wrong with you.
I think that's fair.
That's something is wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll move on because everyone knows Cats is universally panned. Just it's a bad awful. Musical and it's a bad adaptation of that musical.
Yeah. I think it's an atrociously wonderful film.
I understand that. You're a sick man.
Yeah.
The Flash is our next bottom.
I think if you correlated this with any sort of IMDb Rotten Tomatoes score, I think a lot of these would match pretty well. Like, I think we're on target.
People generally thought The Flash was okay. Like, it wasn't despised on the level that
I think
that
Keaton was its saving grace. I think we've established that. Without Keaton and that throwback, you have nothing in that movie.
Without the fan service, that's what it is. That's it. But people would outrage that, you know, they had Nick Cage, AI-generated Nick Cage in a Superman thing. Like, this weird, like, oversaturation of fan service and, oh, look who we got on this bit and look at the history of Superman. And like, this is a Flash movie. And Ezra Miller, all the problems there and the delays in filming and release. And
I saw a really funny tweet the other day about Ezra Miller, which was that, which is brutal, but
here we go.
For a while, if you were living in Hawaii between the years of like 2022 and 2024, you were statistically more likely to be attacked by Ezra Miller than eaten by a shark. And I'm like, that is true.
Okay, that was actually very funny.
So it really
allegedly
gave me pause.
No, it's not funny.
Allegedly, they are awful, and they have dropped off the face of the earth.
Yeah, good. So, yeah. Bye bye. Third bottom, Interview with the Vampire.
Yeah,
which,
look.
Marcus, you gave this a 4 and you watch it all the time.
And I brought the film to the pod, which was the most shocking part of it.
Tom, you're the highest.
And your
there.
Annual watch is coming up, I believe.
Yeah.
I think we're all doing it together next week.
I
gave it a 1.
A little bad for that film because I think that The Flash is despicable. I like Cats in my weird, stupid, like completely idiosyncratic way, but I understand. I'm not like, oh, you guys are silly. It's a masterpiece. Like, no, Cats is ridiculous. I think Interview with a Vampire, I feel like we bullied it a little.
Because of like Tom Cruise and Kirsten Dunst being good?
And and it's just having a bit more of it. You know, literally a couple of weeks after we had that episode, I was at Nova, the cinema, and they were having an Interview with a Vampire screening, and so many people showed up in costumes. And people, and I was like, "There's a
cult following. Yeah,
it is,
yeah.
And it was a little more powerful than
who
I
was.
Expected.
Who was doing the interview? Because you said they were. No. It's fine. I don't need to explain the joke. It was
Christian
hilarious.
Slater's career at people the moment, he probably turned me. Up.
Yeah,
he was good. Probably there.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I gave that a 1. I gave The Flash a 3.5.
Wait, anything in retrospect?
You,
like,
you hated it.
I'm not going to change that. I could not fathom how that film got made and how that was the performance that Brad Pitt gave. I just can't understand it. It's so boring.
Tom, what did you give it? What did
I gave it a 5.5.
Yeah, 5.3.
Okay. Might not to be... I don't know if you guys have heard of Letterboxd, but I'm on Letterboxd and...
Look him up, guys.
Look me up,
Tom
on
Butler on Letterboxd.
All one word. And
Tom Butler on Letterboxd. Great.
And I realized as I was like giving that a 2.5, I was like, oh, this is what a 2.5 is for, or a 5.5 is for. I might have said some variation of this in the episode, but it's like, it's a movie I am kind of glad it exists, but I can't say I like it.
Why?
Because I think it has some cultural like significance and legacy and value. And that kind of compounded that for me seeing the people go to Nova.
Okay.
But I do still, I mean, Brad Pitt is one of the worst performances.
I mean,
in a
you've
major
got to think about
I've
it. It has gone down in history in a weird way. Because it's still talked about.
Yeah, it's still relevant.
So something
strangely.
I think you're absolutely on the mark there.
But
yeah, nothing there for
still,
me though.
But it's sure. mostly, a lot of the time, it's very boring, unfortunately. Yeah.
Is it you just? Think of, is it? Sorry.
You no, go. No, no. I was just saying. You think about the hundreds, if not thousands, of films that are made every day, and go straight to DVD or just disappear into the back lot, and no one has even seen or heard about it or talked about it.
Yeah.
You've got films like this that do have some sort of legacy behind them.
Yeah.
For whatever reason,
it's
right?
purely on the star factor of Brad Pitt, Tom Cruise. Right?
Well, sure.
Well, it's such beautiful men at the height of their coming of age, I guess, in Hollywood. Yeah. That's a huge moment, and people would have been excited for that pairing, even though it didn't go well.
I think the thing that we've all collectively agreed upon is that there was a bit of a flat line for Brad Pitt, right?
Yeah, he's awful. But it's the four-pronged thing of looking back on it 30 years later, and you're like, Brad Pitt, Tom Cruise, Kirsten Dunst, Antonio Banderas, like the cast for this movie that are still relevant. I'm not saying you don't have to say you.
Antonio Banderas. Shall we move on?
Antonio.
Shall we move on?
We should move on.
Our top three on average.
Yes.
Going from third to second to first, I guess.
Yes.
I know that 10 Things is going to be on this list.
So Forrest Gump is our top, is third.
Really?
Forrest Gump. Third.
Third.
And
third.
I'm
10, 10, 8.6 for you, Tom. 8.
I'm like, 6. I still like that movie, but I'm a little bit on the side of people who watch it now and go, this is deranged. And it's like, it is deranged.
But who cares?
It's too much movie to deny how effective it is. It's very
It's truly fantastic. I, like, emotionally, I look at that and I go, why didn't I give it an 11? You know?
Yeah. Would you now?
It's hard to say because you feel like it's an 11 and then you watch it and you go, no, it's flawed in some
sort of all the right ways.
But how? Like, pick a flaw.
I
it's a bit too cloying. It's a bit too...
Yeah. I think that people can
it's
definitely quibble.
It's a bit too
with...
daytime movie, I guess you could call it sometimes. So you can look at it and go, meh. Like, I could see how some people could watch it once and be good.
Yeah, I see what you mean because it is like, oh, I can't believe he did all these things in American history and it all worked out for him. It's like, that's kind of the point, right?
It's kind of ludicrous.
You're playing into it. And like, I don't know.
It's trafficking.
It's a tall story.
That trope of like the idiot savant as well, where it's like, well, he may be stupid, but maybe he's a lot smarter than he lets on. And it's like, that feels a little, yes.
Maybe we should all be a bit more stupid.
And I think the politics of it are weird, but I try not to let the politics of a movie bother me unless it's really adamant. And I don't find the politics of that movie as adamant as some people. Some people are like, this is like boomer porn and it's like actually despicable. And I'm like, I don't think that's
boomer
true.
Boomer porn.
Yeah, that people watching are like, look at this, the sort of greatest generation.
No, I mean, tend to overthink a lot of my film watchings and Forrest Gump doesn't fall into that category. And never watch it.
And you do kind of have to not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to kind of be a bit of a Forrest Gump as a watcher. Yeah.
Okay.
What's number two?
Number two, The Godfather.
Yeah, of course.
Which is weird because you gave it like a 2?
8.5. I didn't like it as much as everyone expected me to.
That's all right.
God, yeah. Al Pacino, learn to act, man.
wow.
Marcus, you gave it a 10.9 and Tommy gave it an 11. That's crazy.
Movie.
So that for you two is obviously like one of the highest.
Yeah.
I'm dragging you down. Yeah. I apologize.
That's okay. We're used to it. But I think The Godfather is one of those undeniable artifacts for me, and I try not to do that as like a, you don't like the Beatles, you don't like music. Like, people cannot like things.
Yeah, Ringo's a bad drummer.
Yeah,
so get over
the best drummer.
I'll
in the
tell
Beatles.
You why it's not an 11 for me purely for length. Like, it's just
not long enough.
What about,
not long enough.
What about girth?
The girth is perfect.
The girth part.
I mean, yeah. If you're talking about girth of cast, that's a stacked cast.
It's, yeah, the length just knocks it down just that little bit. Do you know what I mean? Like, it is a masterpiece of cinema. I think it's fantastic.
A little bit.
Yeah. I was going to watch part two really soon after that. And I haven't gotten around to it yet. So maybe I should bring that on the pod.
Sure.
Have you probably never seen part two?
Of course
two,
I've seen
you?
It. I've seen all three.
Really?
I went to theater school. Okay. Number one, our favorite film across the board is 11 Things I Hate About You. Because you gave an 11. I don't know.
That's right. You gave it an 11, Mark.
I did.
I think that's a
best
good show.
I think it's my only 11.
And then we gave 10s.
You gave American Beauty a 12. Apart from that.
It's the best film of all time.
My favorite film of all time.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
So that's us on average. That's very good, right?
That's us very much on average.
But are we going to... Do you want to do individual averages or tops?
Or even just like, is there one that you...
Because that was the collective,
remember,
right?
That you're like, ah, I'd probably like reevaluate that. Or that's something that I'd...
I think it's interesting. Like, Tom, you've given 4 11s.
Yeah.
Marcus has only given 1.
I think my 11s are In Bruges, The Godfather, American Psycho, and I should be able to remember the other one, but I can't.
I'm going to tell you, there is a film here that immediately seeing my score,
yeah,
I should have scored it far higher.
Which is?
And, American Beauty.
And almost, do you know what? It should have probably been my first ever 11,
okay.
Maybe.
What was it?
The Mummy.
Oh, yeah.
Mummy's a great movie.
I just adore that film to no end. And I see its flaws and I don't care.
It's the Forrest Gump of it. You don't need to, like, don't ever think it.
No.
That's a 9 across the board from all three of us, which
that's
like,
huge.
Emotionally, I look back and I go, The Mummy's fantastic. I'll watch that any day. If The Mummy's on, I'm not turning it off.
Mm.
So good. Yes, your last 11, Tom, to go back, is Starship Troopers.
Starship Troopers, of course.
Of course. The shower scene?
It's the only thing you referenced.
That's it, truly. I don't think I talked about anything else in that movie.
No, I mean Frank.
Oh, no.
Every time we bring up Starship Troopers, he's like, but the shower scene.
I spent a lot of time talking about the
shower
scene.
That's because Tom harped on it for half an
Definitely.
Hour. with his dick in his hand.
Yeah, and growing up with Tom, don't worry, I've heard enough of it too.
Yeah. I'm sure
it's the only thing that resonated in the first place.
You could look at the DVD and you could see the one groove in it where it was the shower scene that just got worn out the rest of the movie.
In the first year that Tom ever saw this film, if you asked him anything about it, that's the only thing he could tell you.
It's also, it's not even that great. Like, it's like you see a boob and a willy.
That was,
like, that's,
it's that was revolutionary.
Frank sees each of those every day getting in the shower.
My 11, I have only one 11.
Your 11, I know, is Iron Man.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Hell yeah. Proud of it. Happy with it.
Yeah.
I think I should have put Forrest Gump as an 11. Okay. I don't know.
They're basically the same movie.
Weirdly. Knowing you for as long as I have now, I would have thought 11 from you for Forrest.
Yeah.
It was surprising.
Well, sometimes I surprise you.
I rewatched. Life is I actually texted you about this the other day. I rewatched The Avengers the other day. The first one.
Joss Whedon's The Avengers.
Yeah. And I'm like, you know, this is never a movie I loved anyway,
but
it's lost some of its luster and it did make me appreciate Iron Man more. I was like, Iron Man, as much as it feels like a small story compared to where these went, it's very self-contained, it's very efficient, it's very well-characterized.
Yes.
It knows what it wants to be, amazingly, because they shot without a script half the time. Like, it's a good movie. We did something. Am I funny to you?
Am I funny? No,
funny how?
I thought you were doing a Rent reference. From here on in, I shoot without a script. Because I was like, that was...
You and I are the only people where that could be possible. That
we might could have done a Rent reference, the musical.
Absolutely. You'll see, boys.
No, sorry, the Avengers. The Avengers is, it was like similar to Infinity War and Endgame. Watching it that first time feels like an event, feels like a moment in time that you'll always remember.
And then you look back
and the film itself isn't actually that good, but it's just amazing to have all the characters come together for the first time.
Do you feel that way about it, Marcus? When was the last time you watched The Avengers?
It's badly lit.
A long time ago, and it was a bit too colourful for my liking.
Yeah, literally, the colour grading is so bright and vibrant. It looks like a TV movie.
Yes, you are correct. It's not a great looking movie. It's some of the stuff that was really snappy and amusing about it originally. A lot of people who are in the younger generation who hadn't seen it or maybe like kind of missed it, watch it now and are like, Iron Man's really fucking annoying in this. And I kind of agree. Like, it's peak obnoxiousness for RDJ, that movie.
They really lean into it for sure in that one.
And I remember reading interviews where Joss Whedon really pushed back. RDJ apparently said, I need to be the lead in this. Like, Iron Man's what's popped off. I'm not trying to make this an ego thing, but people want me. I don't think they want this to be like a four-hander. And Joss Whedon's like, no, it's a four-hander and Cap is the head and you just need to get used to this. And you watch the movie and you're like, this is definitely an RDJ-heavy movie. Like 100% he's the lead of this film.
He was easily the most charismatic at the time by a long shot. Thor, sorry, Marcus, you got your hand up, but Thor is
a non-entity.
So weak in that film.
Mark
sorry,
Ruffalo is really good.
Ruffalo's great.
Okay, now I am going to interject. What the fuck are we doing right now?
Talking about the Avengers.
Why are we talking about the Avengers?
This is a sneaky Avengers episode.
Yes, I'm having
you bitches.
I just had to stop you. I just realized how much of a tangent this was.
That's a good call.
Are there any films that you look back? Any films that we look back and we go, that would have been.
Well, can you just, you've got it up in front of you. Can you tell us what, say, Tom's top three are?
We've said my top four were American Psycho, In Bruges, Starship Troopers, and
The Godfather.
Okay, and what was yours?
Just Iron Man. Are you talking about just 11s?
No, like if you literally grade from your highest scores to your lowest scores.
Yeah.
You did that?
Yeah. 10 Things I Hate About You, Wicked, Iron Man.
Where was I when we talked about this?
You were raising your hand patiently.
What do you mean?
I don't know. What was mine?
Yours was 10 Things I Hate About You. That's your only 11.
That's it.
Kill Bill Volume 1, The Godfather, 10 Things I Hate About You.
Yeah.
Then going back, you've got Dune Part 2, Forrest Gump, American Beauty, The Batman, Starship Troopers at a 9.9, and then Billy Elliot at a 9.5. Are you insane?
I've given more 11s than anyone, but you've got a lot of top-heavy ones. You've got a lot that are like high nines.
Yeah, tens. I've got high films, not a lot of 11s. Though.
Yeah. You
wait.
You loved The Batman. Did you give The Batman a 10?
Yeah, I did.
Wow.
I did. Yeah.
Still?
Yeah.
Okay. I need to rewatch that.
I think I just
finished watching it from when I started it 3 years ago. So I guess I should start it again.
You can't make that joke.
Too long.
You like The Godfather and Dune Part 2. And
I agree, but I think they're better movies.
Yeah,
I think The Batman is a pretty good movie that could use. It's 3 hours. There is a lot that could be trimmed to that.
Kill Bill Volume 1 is the largest discrepancy.
Frank, what did you say I was insane for before? What were you referencing?
Billy Elliot.
Being the most Frank movie of all time of that Frank course. Can't stand. It's like staring into the sun for Frank. He's like, no, it's too much.
It, on paper, it should be a film you just.
I'm sorry, it's a bad movie, and he's a bad dancer. I just cannot go.
The dancing,
the dancing
is bad. The script is bad. Nothing about it is enjoyable.
Visceral memory of listening to that episode weeks after we recorded it, and you talking about his dancing, and me just shaking my head while listening to the episode. Like, why? What do you mean, respectfully?
Yeah, no, I'm not being mean. Jamie, what's his name? Jamie Bell. Is a talented, very talented tap dancer and actor. But he's meant, anyway, it doesn't matter. I'm sorry,
Marcus, you're not going to get this reference, but you're like Jenna and 30 Rock when she's on the American Idol show and she's just yelling at the children, jump back inside your mother, Kaylee. Like, she's just telling these kids off. You're being so mean to a child.
I just said he's good. Okay. Kill Bill Volume 1. You both gave it 10.5, 10.6 respectively.
Wrongfully poo-pooed this film.
Wrongfully?
I think this is where you have been way off.
2.5. And I will stand
because I don't
by
think
that.
I'm convinced you didn't even watch it. I'm convinced you didn't even give it a chance.
I know about the lack of blood in the snow scene. I know about it. And I know about the lack of too much blood. Wait. What? There's too much blood in the
You are not helping the case that you watch this movie.
I love
your hatred toward Tarantino, full stop.
I love Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
You hear about the sequel?
Once Upon a Time in Neverland?
No, this has been announced recently. Yes, Marcus and I were talking about it, just breaking news. Apparently he's written a sequel that David Fincher is going to direct for Netflix. I hate that sentence and I'm very ready to watch that movie. Because I love David Fincher so much.
Here's the thing, Netflix is actually doing some good stuff.
Yeah, but it's Netflix. So it's that thing where it just gets buried on streaming. It's really fucking frustrating that The Killer came out, they put it in cinemas for 2 weeks and then everyone was like, oh, it's Netflix, who gives a shit? Same thing happened with Hitman.
That's not your problem.
The problem I
think
is
that... Do you care that they don't make money or you don't care that
they
don't
get seen?
No, I
don't care that they don't make money. They can. Well, I mean, it's free fucking money. Like, it's stupid they don't do it. But I think it's really frustrating that it makes it feel like a smaller deal. And I know that I'm not one of those people who's like, if you don't watch a movie at cinemas, then you're not getting the full experience. You can watch it at home, you can do whatever. But the point of cinema has always been these big marquee events, these big releases that have meant something. Just like you were saying about like the events of the Avengers, like going to see, yeah, I tried to do that, but it didn't work.
It was bad.
The Avengers. and it feels like now everything is some version of the Marvel TV shows where it just goes straight to Disney Plus or whatever. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, why do we care about this?
Yeah, it's and they release it in cinemas for 2 weeks and they go, well, it's not going to make money, so we'll just...
Yeah.
Which
feels wild. Apple at least had the, yeah, we'll put Killers of the Flower Moon out of cinemas for a while. Like, go see it there. And then it'll be on the streaming service.
This is super on topic for the SNS we're doing.
Yeah. Hey, you said at the start, it's a free form. We'll just go in and riff and have a good time.
I think the only movie that I want to really rewatch and give another go to is Coda. And I've seen it twice.
Probably me too.
Marcus will turn the sound on this time.
Do you know what we didn't talk about in the episode, which is even funnier and adds layers? You started watching the wrong Coda.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So
we didn't
you
talk
were
about
texting
that.
Us.
There's
and
two
like,
different codas.
You were texting me and you were like, this Patrick Stewart movie is what we're doing? And I'm like, no, that's the wrong Coda, man. You got to get the proper one. Yeah. So you almost watched the wrong movie and then you watched the one about deaf people without subtitles for 40 minutes.
That was not a good week
that's
for me.
That's so funny. I would rewatch that movie just because I still think I put the best picture-ness on it. And I think I need to be a bit more forgiving that could just be a silly, emotionally affecting movie without it having the weight of this one best picture. I mean, it won it during COVID. Who gives a shit? You
know? Yeah, that's right. It's the gas leak here.
Basically.
I'm just looking back. I mean, I've got in order from lowest, we've got Cats for me. Cats, Twilight, Waterworld, Rocket Man.
Yeah, you hated Waterworld.
Waterworld, I think I probably stand by my argument, but I think that Rocket Man I probably need to revisit.
We need to talk. We didn't speak about this in the Oscar episode. Better Man, the Robbie Williams biopic, is fantastic.
Is it?
Gotta watch it.
So good. Okay, it's so dark and like, yeah, he's a monkey, and you just forget that. You literally 5 minutes in, you're like, cool, that's the main character. It is like
for the same reason.
Such a stylistic choice, and the film is it can go places that are like, you know how Rocketman kind of has those dream sequences and things that are. Not quite reality.
Yeah.
Better Man does the same thing and is such a dark, way. It's so
my criticism of Rocketman was that it felt a bit self gratuitous because
Elton John's still alive.
He's still alive and still sort of on board with the project, and it just felt a bit like.
And he's in the credits with his shopping bags, and you're
Whereas the Robbie Williams thing, I could probably argue is the same thing, but I think at least they've tried something very different with it that I could probably.
And it isn't very like it's not that flattering.
See that too in itself, I think is good. But is it in a like I'm a victim to my circumstance way? No. See that to me. It's less icky.
It's made. I've made a lot of interesting, if not bad, choices.
Mm.
Your line, if I remember correctly, Marcus, was it would have been cheaper for them to spend all the money giving Elton John hand jobs than
you
to
did say that
direct quote.
No, you pretty much. I'm paraphrasing slightly, and I'm like, I get your point.
Did I actually say that? Because that's a good line.
It wasn't bad. It was. Yeah. We were a little confused to start with, and then we understood.
I was like,
how
much money is it per hand job, though?
Yeah. What's the going ratio? Rate? What's the currency exchange? Yeah.
And also, no one pays Elton John for that. Do you know what I mean?
That's a good point. You just give. I think.
Elton John.
I like the idea.
Weird taste in my mouth. Yeah, I know. Gross.
I like the idea of Better Man getting pitched to a studio and like sitting down with studio heads and they're like, all right, we want to make a movie about Robbie Williams.
Okay, they have to be English, of course.
They have to be English. Yep. We want to make a movie about Robbie Williams. And the producers just put like one stack of cash on the table and like, he'll narrate it. Another stack of cash.
Yeah.
We have the rights to his music. One more stack of cash. Mm-hmm. And he's a monkey. They just pick up a huge pile of cash and put it. They're like, make this immediately.
He's a monkey.
It's kind of a great pitch. It really is. It's like, but he's a monkey. At the end of every movie ever, if you add that, I'm like, great, better movie. Immediate, better man.
And they go, but Andy Serkis is not on board. And they take a little.
They take a little bit away. Just a little bit off. He's under the table. Like.
Yeah. Okay, the movie with the widest spread.
The whitest spread?
Oh.
The most Eurocentric movie on there? Is that what we're doing?
Belfast?
I mean, that is a
they're
white.
Pretty pale.
That is a white.
Or Twilight, very pale.
Twilight, yes.
Okay, widest
Twilight's
spread.
The bluest movie.
Yeah, it is. Great color grade. Deadpool and Wolverine.
The film that almost broke up the pot.
I feel tense even bringing it up.
I will say, maybe I've scored that a little lower than I should have.
Yeah, I think you have, yeah.
But I stand by the arguments made for the score. I think the score was harsh. I think it was for the comedy of just getting under your skin on the day. Really
yeah, it
worked.
Was funny.
It really worked for me. It still does, actually.
Okay, good.
My favorite thing about that episode is
screaming?
You and I finished recording that and we're just like, oh, that was fun. And we're just back to it. But the intensity in the moment is real, but it's almost just like a boxing match. Like the second it's done, it's just like, oh, yeah, good. Let's go get a drink. Like,
do you know how to have fun? Just a genuine question.
Hold on. I want to go back one time. We got a few texts after people listened to Deadpool Wolverine, a few messages.
I did have someone who was like, you guys sound
are you
really
okay?
Angry
like, what happened? What happened after that? Because you guys can't still be friends. Yes, we are. And that's the beauty of the pod.
Yeah. I don't think Frank's been space. Mad at me since, actually.
We'll move on. Marcus, you said, I don't know how to have fun.
Well,
go on.
I mean, according to...
You shit canner?
According to, like, 28 Days Later, Kill Bill Volume 1 and Starship Troopers being in your lowest scored, they are some fun movies.
You're just an anti-fuckboy movie, which I respect. That is just kind of like you're pushing back against our generation.
I'm a cuckboy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's come on! The throwback to that no one knows about. This is fun.
Cuckboy?
As in, people know what the word cuck means, but they don't know about the first take we tried to do in this episode where you were like, we're a cuck boy and we do a freestyle rap.
And now they know.
But you know, I mean, I guess the same could be said for Tom now looking at his.
There are some probably movies that people enjoy a lot that I didn't like.
Deadpool Wolverine. Yeah. Ghostbusters Afterlife. Sure,
no,
fair.
Okay. Fair. No one's going to bat for that movie.
But 1.5 is... deep.
That movie is atrocious.
The Flash you gave to The Gentleman. 2.5.
Yeah, a lot of people like
Roadhouse.
2.6.
Come on, man.
Sucks. I would give that
Dalton.
Less. I think Roadhouse is like a 1.9.
Wow.
That's a bad movie.
And then Elvis 3.
Yeah.
Don't Worry, Darling. 3.9. Fair enough. Yeah.
So far, the only one on there that I'm like,
Joker 4.
I often talk to people about how much they love The Gentleman. And I'm just like, that movie does not work for me at all. But
it's not Guy Ritchie's best. Rock and Roller is Guy Ritchie's best.
That is a take.
Marcus, let's just quickly talk about Twilight, obviously, because Tom and I like Twilight, gave it 7.4.
I think Twilight's good.
You gave it a 1.
I think that's universally accepted.
I don't know if that's true. I think that first movie. Again, I think if you're going to talk to a certain generation and even like there's maybe a gender divide there, But if you're going to, which is not
to
say.
It's a maturity divide.
This is, this is a movie just for girls. Like, like a lot of different people like this, but it obviously was a movie and a book series aimed at young women.
Yeah, well, you're still writing in your diary every day, the one with the.
There's nothing wrong with that. It's nice to journal.
The fluffy fucking lining on it. And
it's called a diary.
It smells like whiskey and
exactly. Sweat.
Stained with tears still.
Still, yes. Yeah, I think that movie, I think if people are going to defend any Twilight movie, they tend to be like, that first one's kind of interesting. It's got some weird shit in it. Catherine Hardwick really throws her personality and her spirit into it. And then the ones afterwards just become really laden and boring. And
yeah, kind of tropey.
This may be a result of me, I guess, classing it as a franchise rather than as a
but it's hard, it's hard to take that out of
it.
Yeah, it is. Same with Iron Man, same with all the Marvel stuff.
I wouldn't go
stuff,
to bat for this franchise. I haven't seen, I got halfway through the third Twilight and I gave up.
Yeah.
The second one is really
gun
bad.
To head, of course the first one's the best one.
Yeah.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
It's progressively worse. The franchise as a whole I detest. And I now knowing, and this is the problem too, now knowing the talent pool that you have in there and how they were being, I would say, squandered or being utilized incorrectly.
Yeah, they're not using
awful.
The talent well. Yeah.
Awful.
I think Pattinson and K-Stew are doing something in that movie. I understand that K-Stew's performance is like...
Who the fuck is K-Stew? Like, K-Stew, what are you saying?
Because
you know,
K-Stew.
Because you don't know if it's Kirsten or Kristen?
Nope, that's basically it. You're 100% right. I always fuck it up.
All right, should we wrap up with anything? I think the one we're closest to line on is 10 Things I Hate About You, and that makes sense.
And we all hated The Flash.
And we hated The Flash.
Yeah.
Those are our two pretty similar. I think we all liked The Big Lebowski. Like to different degrees.
You think? Why don't you have any data in front of you, man? Like I logged you into the spreadsheet before.
Oh my
God!
My name's Tom. Beep, boop, boop.
He's like, can you connect me to the Wi-Fi?
That suggests that I'm good with that. I'm a robot.
No,
though.
You're just pressing random buttons.
Oh right, you guys have given me like a.
It's a fake phone.
I don't see the spreadsheet.
I think that I'm editing all these episodes because you've given me like a fake.
It's the equivalent of giving your youngest sibling a controller to a game that's not plugged in.
This will be the end of the episode. But let me tell a quick story for the listener. Oh, I gave Thomas a laptop. I gave him a laptop, a Mac, one of my spares. I'm made of money. I gave it to him to like practice on iMovie, just practice making any sort of TikTok or reel or content, anything for the pod so you can help out because he does nothing. Let me tell you, Tom does nothing in terms of back of house work, not a thing. 6 months later, I text Tom and I said, hey, I just need to get that serial number off the Mac. I'm looking to track it. We're looking to trade it in actually. Tom calls me and he's like, I don't have your shit, man. I don't know what you're talking about. I was like, Thomas, where is it? I tear my house apart. I take apart my bedside table looking for this laptop, stressing.
Where's the wrap? Where's the wrap? Does the wrap come in? You said there was a wrap.
Oh, yeah, Tom, do your rap. Do your rap. Your voicemail rap.
Oh, I can't. It was too good.
It's full of, it's full of expletives.
Yeah. Instead of just giving
it was like two-word answer. Crap book. I don't give a slack book. I don't even look like you if I could look in the mirror. I don't know. That was probably better.
Yeah.
Anyway, Thomas can't even figure out what a USB-C charger is, let alone, of course, he hasn't done any edits in the last 6 months. I do. Anyway. I'm mad at Tom.
Can I say something?
Go.
I write the blurbs.
No one cares about the blurbs.
Which Frank
Thomas.
Has to message me every night before the episode and go, can I have the fucking blurb,
Tom,
please?
For the listener, Tom is beetroot red right now. He's giddy with excitement over this.
So
and
funny
Frank
to
is
me.
Beetroot red because he's mad.
I'm true. Yeah.
It's true. This is me trying to stop myself from laughing because I'll pass out. So I'm just kind of going like.
It truly and also I text Tom at midday. I text him and said, hey man, do you have my MacBook? No reply for 6 hours. No reply. Just nothing. Hey, man. Yep. Got it. It's in the cupboard. Anything would have eased my mind and stopped me tearing apart my house looking for this prized possession, right? It's worth a bit of money. Of course, I'm like, where is it? A bit worried. He leaves the voicemail. I was like, oh, I'm sorry. I was at a friend's party. It's like, you didn't take your phone? Like, what do you mean? You can't reply to my text? You are so annoying. Never replies to messages. Anyway, I want my laptop back.
Right. We've had the day to deal with this.
Yeah. I saved it.
But just save it for on air. That's great.
No, I want everybody to know.
Listener, this is throwing the power. This has been a great therapy session.
If we could rate this one, I rate Tom a 1 out of 11.
It's very sweet. Thank you.
That was fun.
I'm glad we got that out.
I had to get that
out.
Let's start. Thank you,
episode 101 onwards. Let's just fresh start. Fresh pals.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. No resentment.
None.
Absolutely.
Got to hold it back and see.
We're going to be good friends.
Season one, season two, season three. What are we now? We're 100 eps almost.
Fuck no. It'll be season three.
I've got it somewhere written on the Mac. I'll check when I get home later tonight.
I can't even respond. Throw in the pal. Thank you for listening to Throw in the Pal. My name is Frank.
My name is Marcus.
My name's Tom.
And that was a fun little deep dive, maybe for us. I don't know if you guys enjoyed it.
Yeah, I had a great time.
Thanks for listening. Write us an Instagram or an email at throwinthepal@gmail.com or throwinthepal@Instagram and tell us of when your friends let you down. Bye. Throw in the Pal.